Welcome, everybody, to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. This is Coach Young. Today's date is December the 7th. In today's podcast, we get into five topics. One, we preview the semifinals of the in-season tournament. Second, we'll kind of get into the Pelicans bouncing off of the in-season tournament, their performance, and why I think this team is becoming very dangerous, not just in the in-season tournament, but in the years to come. Three, Motor City Madness. What is going on with the Detroit Pistons and how can they turn it around? Fourth, we'll talk about the most improved player talk. We'll start to reset the board. So we'll look at the board and kind of get into what is going on with that. And lastly, we will end with the defending national champions, UConn Huskies, off of their big win over North Carolina last night. Why I think they should be in the conversation and may actually repeat as national champions. Once again, it's December the 7th. Welcome to the podcast, and let's get started right away with the in-season tournament. In-season tournament after the games on Monday and Tuesday night, we have now reached the semifinal stage in Viva Las Vegas, and what great matchups we have with the Los Angeles Lakers versus the New Orleans Pelicans and the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Indiana Pacers. And what's amazing, folks, is if you look at both matchups, you have established veteran teams that are hunting for a championship overall at the end of the year against upstart teams. Teams that, honestly, if you've listened to me on Sports Grid, I have been extremely high on. But let's get started with the Western Conference, with the Lakers versus the Pelicans. This should be an outstanding matchup. And I've talked about it before, how I like the Lakers to win this at 6-1 when we got to the quarterfinal knockout stage because of that man, LeBron James, and the play of Anthony Davis. But it's more than that. It's Rui Hachimura and the rest of the role players for the Lakers that has this team playing on a high level. Darvin Ham in his second year, they are playing well, and I look at the depth of them. Now, you can sit there and talk about the fact, hey, you know, there should have been a foul called at the end of the game. Listen, if you depend on referees to win or lose you the game, you got another thing coming. I've seen it as a coach. The next referee I trust will be the first one I trust. So at the end of the day, you got to perform on the floor, and that's what the Lakers did. If you look at the odds right now really quickly, the reason why I like the Lakers, were 6-1. Right now they're looking at plus 230 to win the in-season tournament with the Milwaukee Bucks ahead of them. And let's go to the Eastern Conference in an intriguing matchup between the Milwaukee Bucks, an established team with has won an NBA championship, with superstars galore, with a rookie coach in Adrian Griffin, who has done a great job. And think about what they did last night to the Knicks. 146 points, shot over 60% from three. The Knicks didn't play bad, folks. Milwaukee was just on that heater. And that just happens sometimes in the NBA. But when you look at that experienced team with Giannis, with Damian Lillard, with Brooke Lopez, with Malik Beasley, with Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, this team is really trying to gel now. So this is why games like this are important for them and important for a guy like Damian Lillard, who hasn't had a lot of success in the playoffs. This is like a playoff run for Dame time, and it's important for him and his team to play relatively well. With Indiana, folks, I mean, we talked about it last time, eight guys getting double digits, obviously led by the play of Tyrese Halliburton with a triple-double versus Boston. He's been fantastic. But it's been the other guys. It's been the Miles Turners. It's been the Obi Toppins. It's been the Jalen Smiths. It's been the Benedict Mathurins. It's been the Buddy Hield. It's been the Miles Turners. Do you see where I'm going with this? Like, they beat you with the sum of their parts. And when you are a team that runs and guns and got eight guys that can get you double digits, you try and speed up the game. You don't slow it down. So it'll be interesting to see what we look at in regards to the prop market and what we look at in regards to total. I think the game is going to be a lot of points and be a lot of fun. Now, when you look about the in-season tournament and the semifinals, like I said, I spent some time talking about all four teams. But let's back up. Let's spend a little bit of time on the Fly Pelicans. I am talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans are playing extremely well basketball, and here are your quick reasons why before I get into detail. Number one, star power. They may not have a top 10 or top 15 player, but they may have three players that you can consider top 30 players in the NBA. Number two, health. They're getting guys back. McCollum, Trey Murphy III, Alvarado, so on and so forth. Number three, they have hunger. This is a young core that wants to win in a city that has not seen this in their team. So when you look at it, and let's go right down the line, and let's start with the superstars, because in this league, it is a star-driven league. So when you look at big threes, where do you put the big three in the New Orleans Pelicans of Brandon Ingram, of Zion Williamson, of CJ McCollum? B.I. getting you a 23.7, 5 and 5, or about 50% from the floor. Zion, 22.7, 5.8, 4.8, 57% from the floor. And then C.J. McCollum, 20.7, 6 assists, 45% from the floor, 37% from three. So you need star power, folks, and you need star power in regards to guys that could step up. And listen, the pressure was on Zion, folks, more than any other guy in this roster, because Zion has showed the tools that he could be a top 15 player in the NBA. The problem with Zion is he has not been healthy, and we've talked about his weight, but he's got the bag, and he has played really at an outstanding level. But what's good about New Orleans is Zion wasn't good in their win at Sacramento. So you could go to other guys on the roster and they can get you production. Well, how about CJ McCollum? CJ McCollum has been a good pro for a long time. He's done a great job with, obviously, this team. And you could look at the fact that with CJ, you know, he just came back from the lung injury. So getting CJ McCollum back and stabilizing that point guard position in New Orleans is helpful. And it's been a little bit different for CJ because, you know, when he played with Dame Time, he was more of a, like, an off guard. He was a two guard. But now he's got the ball in his hands, and he's been playing very well, 17-7 in that win versus Sacramento. But the guy that was fantastic, it's got to be Brandon Ingram. 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. You know, Brandon Ingram is somewhat of, I wouldn't say an enigma. I just think he's someone that's playing in New Orleans that people just don't know enough about. But if you really look at B.I., and not just his stats, you know, over this year, but, I mean, let's be honest, folks. The guy just averaged 19.4 points per game, 5.2 rebounds, 4.1 assists in his career. Well, let's be honest here. Now, what's been good about him is his three-point percentage is up to 36%, and his assists are up. I'm sorry, his percentage is down, but his field goal percentage is up to 50%, but his rebounds are at where he has a 5.3, and his assists are up by 1.2. Why? Because there's more sharing of the basketball. So you have to be happy with what you have in your superstars with this roster. But before I get into depth, I mean, sorry, into injuries, let's talk about the depth. You know, when you talk about players that don't get talked about enough, what about a Jonas Valanciunas? It's giving you 14.2, 9.1 this year. Now, you're going to look at Valanciunas and say, well, you know, usually, you know, Valanciunas, you know, is a better rebounder. His rebounding numbers are down this year at 9.1 compared to 9.5 in his career. But when you look at Jonas Valanciunas, folks, you know, he's gotten over 10 rebounds a game the previous 5 years. Well, Zion's back. So his production is going to go down. But his efficiency at shooting at 56.7% and shooting 37% from three has been very important to this team because he has the ability to stretch the floor. And at 2.3 assists, he's got the second most assists so far in his NBA career, which spans a decade. So when you go back, you talk about, you know, obviously B.I. and Zion and McCollum and Valanciunas. Well, what about the play of some of these young guys? How about a Jordan Hawkins? What he's done at scoring 12.9 points per game, 3.8 rebounds, shooting at a 37.3% from three. Jordan Hawkins, who really came on the scene the second half of the year with UConn, was really part of that big run. I really thought, and we'll talk about UConn in a little bit, how when he changed his game and he went to the basket a little bit more, he became a more deadly shooter. And he's been a really good addition to this team with 21 games, 9 starts, and he's gone into the starting lineup when people have been injured. But there's other guys. Herb Jones considers to be one of the best defenders in the league, getting you 12.4 points per game. You know, what about, you know, some of these other guys? And Alvarado, who has been out, but he will make, you know, he's played 8 games. Larry Nance Jr. gives you minutes. So it's been, Marshall's giving you 8.8 points per game. So that has been a big thing, is the overall depth. And lastly, Trey Murphy III. Okay, let me tell you something right now. Trey Murphy III is a flat-out baller. 6'9", 3-and-D, and he's starting to figure it out that he put it to the hole. Trey Murphy is one of the more underrated players in this league. I'm a big defender guy. You know, I love defense. So 3-and-D guys are my type of guys. So like guys like Trey Murphy III, even like a guy like a DeAndre Hunter, we'll talk about another episode, are such core guys that you need because of their ability to space the floor, but to go ahead and lock up some of the better wing defenders on the other side of the floor. Trey Murphy IV just came back from knee injury, 2 games, giving you 17 points per game. So think about what I just said, right? You look at this team. You look at the fact that they're starting to get healthy, and that is key, folks. Even with a young team, you have to have health. And getting especially McCollum and to the lesser extent, and maybe a bigger extent, Trey Murphy III is going to make a team, ready for this, folks? New Orleans, even though I like the Lakers to win it, if New Orleans won this thing, I wouldn't be shocked at all. I would not be shocked. They're sitting right at around plus 380 to win because of the fact that of their depth and they're getting healthy. And you think about it. Last game, Zion played, Ingram played, Valanciunas played, Jones played, McCollum played, Najee Marshall played, Alvarado played, Trey Murphy III played. Think about this, a guy like Dyson Daniels is a good young player, only got 6 minutes in the last game. So that tells you what you have. So I'm going to say this again. This team can absolutely win the in-season tournament, and I won't be shocked if they did. And I will go one step further in saying that the New Orleans Pelicans, if they can stay together and if they stay healthy, will be a force in the Western Conference for years to come. While we look at a team in the Western Conference that's playing well, let's look to a team in the Eastern Conference that has been downright awful. Folks, I'm going to be the first to admit it. I had this completely wrong with the Pistons. Completely wrong. I went to their win total over last year. They got rid of Dwayne Casey. I said, you know what? You need a younger coach, relates to his players, a guy that has developed young point guards that Monty Williams has, leading guards like a Devin Booker in Phoenix, like a Chris Paul in New Orleans. But they have been an absolute mess. How much of a mess? Folks, can I tell you this? They have not won a game since we started the podcast. Think about this. I think it's our 9th episode. And we go twice a week. Only once during Thanksgiving week. Or 1 week. Or first week, I should say. And they have not won a game since October the 28th. And they lose them all different ways. You want to lose close? They do it. You want to lose big? Oh, they definitely do it. You want to lose giving up, you know, barely over 100 points, 105, 110 points? Yeah, they've lost giving up 140 points. So this has been really a problem. And as we pull up the graphics here, you look at the roster, you're saying, you know, they got some talent here. Cade Cunningham, 22.4 points per game, 7.3 assists per game. All right. Jalen Duren. Got off to a great start, 12.2, 10.9, getting you a double-double, been really improved. We'll talk about him in the most improved. Jaden Ivey, 11.5 points per game. You know, Isaiah Stewart, 11.2, 7.2. Alec Burks, 10.8. Ashaur Thompson's been a really good rookie, 10.7. Bagley, decent. You know, Killian Hayes is giving them 9.5 points per game. So you're looking at it saying, well, what the hell's going on? It's a strange collection of players and talent. So when you look at the Detroit, I really thought that the two-guard system of Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey would work. It is not. And Jaden Ivey has started the year on the bench, starting to start. There were some rumblings. I don't know if he was in Monty Williams' doghouse. But then you look at a guy like Bojan Bogdanovic, one of the best pure shooters in the game. A guy like Isaiah Stewart, who's a rough and rugged center to improve. Ashaur Thompson. Like, we've talked about how these guys are been so much better. Jalen Duren. They just can't put it together. And it's one of those things where Monty Williams got a lot of money. It's going to be a long process in Detroit. So how do they fix it? Number one, you got to play the kids. You got to play the kids. So to me, Bogdanovic has to be traded. And I'm not waiting to the trading deadline. I'm waiting until December 15th when everybody that's been that will sign as free agents can be moved. I'm moving Bogdanovic to a contender. And there's a bunch of teams that would take a guy like Bogdanovic. I'll trade Alec Burks, another seasoned veteran that has played pretty well. I mean, I would say trade Joe Harris, but I mean, that guy's never healthy. I mean, what the hell does he give you? I would maybe even trade Isaiah Stewart. And I would try to even maybe move a Killian Hayes and say that I have to find a way to get that Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham backcourt work. From there, I would put Ashaur Thompson, who has been taken out of the starting lineup. I'd put him right back in the starting lineup. Ashaur Thompson was fantastic, particularly defense and rebounding. He also has a point forward. I think that would be a good combination. The space would have guys that could shoot the ball like Ivey and Cunningham. And then Jalen Duren at your center position. But it's more than that. I would make sure that I would try to get guys like Marcus Sasser, who has done a really, really good job in his rookie year after coming out of Houston, giving you 8.3 points per game. And it's at the moment, including I watched him last week against the Knicks, score 17, almost single-handedly bring his team back. And then I would figure out, like, what are we doing with James Wiseman? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, is James Wiseman really that bad of a bust that he can't get any minutes? See, that's the thing. If you're going to have James Wiseman and Marvin Bagley III, one of those two got to be moved because you're completely hurting their development, and any kind of trade value you have for them is gone. So there's got to be decisions made. Number one, trade the vets. Number two, play the kids. And number three, what are we doing with Bagley and Wiseman? What are those two got to go? And then look at your fan base and say, okay, this is a full rebuild. We've been rebuilding. We got to move some of these parts, and we move forward. But between Bogdanovic and Burks and, to a lesser extent, Hayes, you should be able to get some kind of capital to help you in the future, probably in the way of draft picks, especially with Bogdanovic. Maybe you get a first-round pick. Let's move on to the Most Improved Player Award, which is one of these weird awards that you got to be careful betting it early. So if I pull in a screen here and show you the preseason odds before the season, this is from actually opening night. Mikal Bridges is at 10-1. Well, we thought Mikal Bridges at 10-1. Why? Because he went to the Nets and he absolutely went nuclear, you know, last year and in the playoffs. Tyrese Maxey, 11-1. Makes sense. Jordan Poole gets his own team, leaves Golden State, 12-1. Cade Cunningham, 15-1, right? Cade wasn't healthy. Anthony Simons. Then there goes the trade of Damian Lillard. He becomes the guy, 17-1. Austin Reeves, 19-1. Scotty Barnes, 19-1. So before we get out of that screen, let's go back there and let's talk about, really quickly, What's gone wrong? Well, number one, Mikal Bridges hasn't played the way he played last year at the end, partially because of the play of Cam Thomas. Tyrese Maxey, we'll get him in a second. Jordan Poole has been an absolute abomination. It's been terrible. And I don't even know, I talked about it before one of the earlier podcasts, should Washington move off of Jordan Poole? Cade Cunningham, well, you can't talk about him. Look what the Pistons are playing like right now. Anthony Simons, he's been hurt. Austin Reeves hasn't really stepped up the way we thought he would. Scotty Barnes, we'll get to him a little bit. And Wagner, who was at 24-1, has been fantastic. Fantastic for Orlando. So now we talk about now, most improved, Tyrese Maxey, plus 125. Why does this make sense? Because of the trade of James Harden. Scotty Barnes, plus 550. Their increased responsibility given to him by Radakovic, the head coach. Tyrese Halliburton, you only have to start with me, Tyrese Halliburton. People are yelling at me that I didn't put him in the top 10 in last week's podcast. How about Cam Thomas, the microwave, 20-1. Cade, 30-1. Franz Wagner moves down from 25-1 to 75-1. Mikal Bridges is at plus 9,500. Can't get back into the race. So when I look at all these guys, who am I going to? I'm going to go to a guy I have not mentioned. His name is Alperen Şengün. And I've talked about Şengün in the past. He's at plus 330. He's on a Rockets team that's playing relatively well. If they can keep himself in a playoff hunt and he can continue to give you the stats that he's giving you, you could look like a guy like Şengün to possibly be in the running or could actually win this award. So if you look really quickly at Şengün, which I did remember, folks, I did call him the best player you've never heard of, 21 points, 9.2 rebounds, 5.5 assists. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did call him Mini Joker. And he's shooting 54% from the floor, 32% from three, which isn't great. Get your free throw shooting percentage up. It's only at about 68%. So I think Alperen Şengün would be my play. I loved him since before the season. I love him now. And it seems like Ime Udoka is getting a lot out of him. Let's end the podcast talking about UConn. Folks, UConn, for some crazy reason, I know they lost to Dallas Sinogo. I know they lost Jackson. But UConn was not, I guess I wasn't really talked about, in my opinion, enough as they could win a national championship. Well, they're here. They're absolutely here. And let's pull up the odds right now so we can kind of show people where everything is. Right now you have Purdue at 10-1, Arizona 11-1, UConn, Kansas 13-1, Marquette, Houston 15-1, and then Creighton, Baylor at 20-1, 26-1 for Duke and Tennessee. So why UConn? Why do I think that this team, who won the national championship last year, can repeat? And I'll go through them really quickly before I get into detail. Number one, experience returning with Tristan Newton and Alex Caravan and Donovan Clingan. Two, shooting. The transfer of Cam Spencer out of Rutgers has been absolutely dynamic. Three, the play of the young players. I know Castle has not gone off. Stephen Castle has not gone off the way people have thought, but he is someone that is a dynamic scorer that should get better. And lastly, the coach and Dan Hurley. So let's begin with Newton, who's taking this game, folks, to an unbelievable level. 1.1 points per game, up by 7 points per game. He's shooting it basically at the same from three, but 47.5% from the floor. Up, ready, folks, by 13%. Rebounding it better. More assists and less turnovers. The play of Tristan Newton has been absolutely fantastic for the UConn Huskies. Next, we'll go to Alex Caravan. who I thought was, along with Hawkins, when they turned him loose in the second half of last year as a stretch four, I thought that he played extremely well. He's carried it over this year at 14.4 points per game, right? Now, he's not shooting it the way he did last year from three, where he's only at 29.4%. He's got to get that up. But he is shooting 52% from the floor, mixing the game up more, and getting 6.1 rebounds. So he has been good, Alex Caravan. But to me, one of the big pieces that you missed was Jordan Hawkins leaving, was shooting. And they went out and they got themselves a cold-blooded sniper in Cam Spencer. And let me explain something, folks. They were a Cam Spencer away, three, late in the game, of beating Kansas at Fog Allen last week. 23 points last night. The kid's shooting 41% from three. Think about this, folks. Because of the COVID year, folks, just so you understand, guys, this is... This kid shot over 40% from three in 4 to 5 years of his career. Do you know also know that he's played at three different schools? But the kid can flat out shoot the rock. So when you have a new neck and distribute, right? And then you got two shooters in Caravan and Spencer, who does it open up things for? Donovan Clingan. And I should have brought up Donovan before I got to Cam Spencer, but Donovan's kind of working his way out back. Remember, he had an injury during the preseason. He's only giving you 20 minutes a night. And Clingan's giving you 13.4 points per game, 5.9 rebounds, and 20.8 minutes. So what happens once he gets going and he gets the playing time? You'll watch Donovan Clingan, who was a top 10, top 15 thought of draft pick in next year's NBA draft. He starts getting going offensively down low. Then it opens up everything else. And let's end it really quick with Castle, the freshman out of Georgia. 10.7 points per game. Listen, he's shooting only 25% from three. He's got to be better. But he's come on as of late. Not good last night, only 3 points last night. But with this young kid and the rest of this core, I think that's how you win in March and April. Experience, shooting, defense, young players, and the coach. And that's Dan Hurley. I told people this before. I've had the pleasure to coach against Dan when he was at St. Benedict's Prep in Newark when he first started out in coaching. And I had the opportunity, obviously, to coach against Bob Hurley Sr., which is still the highlight of my basketball coaching career. If you're a Hurley, you can coach. And if you're a Hurley, you can play defense. And no guy gets his team ready to play like Dan Hurley. He can create a us versus the world mentality. He will get in your face, but he gets in your face and he'll give you a hug at the end of it. And that's the kind of coach you want your kids to play for, as a guy like Dan Hurley. This has been the end of today's podcast. Once again, today is December the 6th, not the 7th. It will air on December 7th. For all of your information, there's nothing better than download the Sports Grid app. This app has everything you need for your sports gambling content. Picks, predictions, props, pregame, in-game, post-game analysis from some of the best in the business. Scotty Frill, get back soon, coming back this weekend. We're so thankful. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Ben Stevens, Kevin Wall, Scott Wetzel, Dave Sherapin, Joe Madden, Taylor Mathis. Like I said, every time I do this, I can go on and on and on. I leave out more than half of the hosts here on Sports Grid. Make sure you go get that Sports Grid app. You can download it on iOS or Android. Next podcast will be next week. On Monday, we'll shoot it to be released on Tuesday. We'll get more into the in-season tournament as it wraps up. We'll reset the College Board. We'll look at the Defensive Player of the Year award, and I'm still working on that guest. Once again, thanks again for listening to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. This is Coach Young. It's been my pleasure. And always remember, folks, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. Take care.